Again, we have the privilege of looking together into the Word of God, and we've been going through the book of Jeremiah very, very slowly and carefully, and every time there's another lesson to learn. Our God has not written this just for our amusement or just because we were curious about what happened back then, but He has written what He has written in order to teach us. And so we have to listen very carefully. Now, I don't think that any one of us can study these chapters and get all the spiritual riches that are contained within them. I find myself that a lot of times I work on a passage and I think I see quite some spiritual significance to it and some teaching. And then later on, looking at it again, I wonder, how did I miss this or how did I miss that? But we're in Jeremiah, and we're at a very, very curious time. The Jerusalem has been destroyed by the Babylonians, and now the captain of the guard, who is speaking under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, they rule now over Judea. They are the rulers. And he has come up with a plan whereby the poor and a number of the people would be left in Jerusalem and in Judea to till the fields and gather in the grapes and the harvest. That would all be done under the auspices of or under the authority of King Nebuchadnezzar. Looked like a very lovely plan for those who had been left behind. You know, God, again, we talked about this at length last time. God had said repeatedly, you've got to leave because if you stay here, you are going to die. You are to surrender to Babylon and live in Babylon, not here in Judea. But the captain of the guard has come through with a very, very interesting plan, and there were a number of men who were princes in Israel who were friends of Jeremiah, as a matter of fact, and even protected him at times. We went through this last time, and they took the bait. They thought, well, this must be from the Lord. Now, as we've been talking about this, we started talking about it last time, and as we talk about it or look at it again in our study today, one thing we're going to find that's very significant, it's very, very significant, and that is that Jeremiah is present with these men. He still is with the Israelites. The Jews have remained in Judea, and he has had permission from God to do that. Remember that God gave a message through this captain of the guard of the Babylonians. That was a very interesting way to give a message, that Jeremiah could stay anywhere that he wished. And remember, we looked at the fact that he had a mandate from God 40 years earlier, that he was ordained to speak to the Jews. And in other words, he came as the voice of God. And so God directed him, although it doesn't say God directed him, except through that original ordination, God directed him to stay with the Jews that remained in Judea. Now, Jeremiah knew they were in rebellion, and it isn't because he was in rebellion, no way. He was simply the mouth of God. If they're going to get a message from God, ordinarily it would have come through Jeremiah. That's the way it had been going on. It had been going on for the last several years. It has always been through Jeremiah. Now, one interesting thing is, we read about these other names, Gedaliah and Johanan and so on, and who are princes and who are highly regarded. And as I indicated, they were friends of Jeremiah. They were not in opposition to him particularly. And yet, as this plot unfolds, we find that they never go to Jeremiah. They never go to Jeremiah. This is a outstanding example of what we get into. I find myself getting into this every time I begin to plan for Family Radio, or plan for my own life, or for more medical treatment, or whatever it may be. And I plan, and I plan, and suddenly I wake up and I say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I've been doing this in my own strength. That's no way to do. That's no way. I know that unless a God is guiding, unless he is working in me and in Family Radio to willingly do of his good pleasure, we're not going to go anywhere. But that's an enormous temptation to try to figure out our life by me. I've thought of this, I've thought of that, I've studied this, I, and we forget that, come on, we can't trust ourselves at all. It's true that God can work through the means that he does set up, but he has to bless. It has to be totally in favor of what God wants, and we don't know what God wants. And so we have to go back to him. Well, you know, here we see Gedaliah, who is the chief actor in this activity that's going on. He's not an actor, actually, of course, but he's on display to us through the Word of God. And he is a very fine man, a very fine man. And then we found that because he is so highly regarded, that also has induced a great number of other Jews to feel at home by remaining in Judea when God had commanded them that they would have to go and become captives of the Babylonians in Babylon. They could not remain there. But everything seemed to be fitting into place. They had an order from the captain of the guard, or the captain of the guard had appointed Gedaliah as the governor of the land. It seemed like it came right from God. Doesn't this, maybe God didn't really mean what he said earlier on. They knew what he had said earlier on, but they, you know, we're going to find that greed begins to enter in. And because here are all these wonderful fields that were owned by the rich people, and now they don't have any owners, and they have been assigned by the king himself, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to harvest those fields. And so there's lots and lots of produce, and that was a farming country. That's where most of their income came from, and so it was very tempting to stay there. And so as soon as they heard that this fine man, this fine upstanding believer, Gedaliah, had been named governor, and he has taken a job, and he is ruling, immediately they felt secure in coming. And so we find, we got down to Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 6. Then went Jeremiah, Jeremiah 40, verse 6, we're going to pick up there. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah the son of Ahikam to Mizpah. Now Mizpah was just a few miles north of Jerusalem. It was very much in Judea. Gedaliah was staying there, but it was He was very definitely in Judea. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah the son of Ahikam to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Now, when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon. Now notice, God is making a point here. They have not been carried away captive. They should have been carried away captive. That's the only real safe place. The only people who are finally, when all this scenario is completed, we're going to find that the only people who are going to continue to live are the ones who were carried away captive, because that's where God had told them they should go. They were to be to be carried away captive meant that they were turned away from Judea altogether, from Jerusalem altogether. They were out in the world, just as we in our day are commanded to come out of the churches. Spiritually, that is Judea in our day. Come out of the churches. No alibis, no exceptions. But I'll tell you, pastor after pastor has made an exception. Our church, we're still okay. But they better take a lesson from what is happening here. Let's read verse 7 again. Now, when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children and the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon. Then they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan the son of Kareah, and Sariah the son of Tanhumeth, and the sons of Ephah the Netophathite, and Jezaniah the son of a Maacathite, they and their men. A great many are coming. Now, in this list of names that we just read in verse 8, as we continue this study, we're going to find that two names stand out besides Gedaliah. One is Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah. He was an Ammonite, but the Ammonites were very close to Judea. And his homeland is across the Jordan River. It's not really in Judea, but he sees an opportunity here. Greed, we're going to find that greed is driving him. He sees an opportunity to become rich out of this debacle that has happened to the nation of Judah. We'll see how that develops. But then there were others who were just Jews. Some were princes, and there were apparently quite a few people left, because we read in Johanan and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, and the sons of Ephah, and so on, In verse 9, and Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swear unto them. We talked about that last time. He has even taken an oath. I guarantee to you, I swear before God, that this is pleasing to God, and you come and you can live in the land of Judea. He was trusting in the fact that the captain of the guard had made him the governor of the land. Fear not to serve the Chaldeans, dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye gather ye wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that ye have taken. Now, you see, outside of the fact that this was a great plum for Gedaliah, that he is made governor, that's a big deal to be made governor, but he has no plans to try to earn a lot of money from the land. He says, "I'll dwell in Mizpah, but you people, you take over all the fields, and because that's where the money is. That's where the money is." And then it goes on in verse 11. "Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom, that were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Jews returned out of all places whither they were driven, and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah unto Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much." Now, this is interesting. Now God introduces the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites. Why them? Why them? Well, they were a neighboring countries, and they were cousins to the Israelites. Remember, Ammon and Moab came from Lot, who was a nephew of Abraham, and so they've always been kind of a short-tail relationship. And Edom is Esau. That is a brother of Jacob, and he was the son of Isaac, and so they were very close. But actually, when we study the Bible, and we won't go into a deep study on this right now, but Edom and Moab and Ammon were all names that God later on put in the Bible and are a picture of the churches. They are called Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Whenever you are reading the Bible in Isaiah or Jeremiah or any of these Old Testament passages, and you read about Ammon or Moab or Edom, you can be sure that spiritually God is pointing to the churches, because they became Ammon and Moab and Edom in that they have rebelled against God and God their own way. But here God indicates, and again he's tying this into our day, these people who were related somewhat to Israel, and the place where the Jews had gone as a sanctuary, when Babylon was destroying or getting ready to destroy Jerusalem, now they felt safe to come back into Jerusalem. But they were just as disobedient as anybody, because they were Jews. They had been told to get out. And all the Jews returned from where they had driven. Then we come to another man, verse 13, who is going to be very important in what goes on as we go on in Jeremiah. His name is Johanan. "Moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields, came to Gedaliah, to Mizpah." Now we're going to study Johanan, and we're going to find that he also is apparently a very faithful man. Because look what happens. He comes to Gedaliah with some very serious information. Very serious information. And he said unto him, "Dost thou certainly know?" In other words, are you aware that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee? Well, this is a very, very important piece of information. Because we read earlier, you know, that in verse 8, they came to Gedaliah, to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah. And so were Johanan, had his ears open, his ears to the ground, and he was listening to the scuttlebutt, and there was a rumor going around, and Johanan believed it had a lot of substance to it, that this man, I got to keep these names straight, this man Ishmael who was an Ammonite, had come into Mizpah, had come into Judah for no good at all, except for his own good, and he wanted to be governor of the land. Now, you know, when you go through the kings of Judah and Israel, particularly the kings of Israel, a king would be there, and he might rule for as short a day, a period of 7 days, or 6 months, or 5 years, or whatever it is. And then when someone else saw an opportunity, they would kill the king and all of his people, and then they would become king. That was a conventional way to become a ruler. And so here now, Gedaliah has been given this enormous plum by the captain of the guard, ruling over all of this land that's not very heavily populated. There's a lot of goods on that land. And Ishmael, he wants to be the governor. He wants to be the governor. And because he sees the potential riches that are here. Now the curious thing is that Johanan tells this to Gedaliah. He informs Gedaliah, and Gedaliah, dost thou not certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, I'm reading again verse 14, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed them not. Now, we can't understand why this is all recorded here until we notice what I said earlier. Jeremiah is there, and they're not talking to Jeremiah. These are very serious matters, exceedingly serious matters. But here are these men who have been listening to Jeremiah for some years. They know that the command had been that everybody had to get out of the land. And now, fortuitously, suddenly, everything opens wide open, and here is they're free in the land. They have the blessing of King Nebuchadnezzar. They have all of these riches in front of them, and they don't want to listen to Jeremiah. They don't dare go to him for fear that he might somehow throw a monkey wrench in their thinking and make them uncomfortable. It's like, have you ever had a time in your life when you're monkeying around with a besetting sin of some kind and you're staying away as you read the Bible, any passages that might relate to that sin? You don't really want to have God talk to you at all, because you are, it's all subconscious, but you know you're doing wrong. Deep in your heart, you know you're doing wrong. But on the other hand, you want what you want. You want that. I want it. And I don't want to get interrupted by the Bible. The minute that we find that we tend to stay away from the Bible, watch out. It means we got a problem. We really have a serious problem. We should always be ready to go open-minded and to the Bible.
Isn't the Lord marvelous the way he lays out this information for us? It isn't something that comes out of our own minds. It's something that comes right out of the Word of God. And I know for me, I anticipate every new study with eager anticipation, because I wonder what else is the Lord going to show us. And so let's be patiently waiting for our next study.